Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Marbella with him and her. He is
PJ Lopez and she is
Hannah Murray. Here we are again. Whoop whoop.
Ready for the next episode with lots of information about us.
Yes, brilliant.
And Marbella.
And films. Film and television. That's been a lot of our week.
Yes, well, we had a bit of a film fest last weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We watched three films back to back last Sunday. And they were all kind of based on true stories or actual true stories, weren't they?
Yeah, it's a really weird thing. Sometimes we love to sit there and watch a fictional film because you just want to lose yourself and just watch something that's not real and fantasy world or whatever it is. But we decided we wanted to watch true stories and learn things.
We learned stuff, didn't we?
We did learn stuff.
So now it's going to sound like we watched like really intellectual documentaries.
No, they weren't intellectual.
They were all about music and stuff. We saw Milli Vanilli, which was all about the band Milli Vanilli. I used to love them. I had their album on cassette tape growing up and was gutted when...
Can we just explain what a cassette tape is for the younger people here? We'll be doing that with CDs soon. CD used to be, you know.
Oh, it's depressing, isn't it? So Frank Farian is the producer, or was the producer, behind Milli Vanilli. And also, what's that group?
Boney M,
yes.
And that was a shock to me. I mean, I was always a big fan growing up of Boney M. Bit of Mar Baker and Ra Ra Rasputin.
Yep.
And when you actually look at the videos, it's pretty obvious actually that he's not singing anything.
Yeah,
he's just leaping around.
Yeah, the guy that's doing all the dancing and did all the low singing wasn't him. It was somebody else. And this Frank Farian, that's what he did. He'd get groups together, but he'd get the kind of people that he wanted to be the face of the band or the dancing and that kind of thing. And then he'd get session vocalists to do all the singing and they'd just mime the people.
Yeah, but it wasn't like he was doing it and that's a nice thing to do. It was fraud. Essentially, wasn't it? He was making out that it was these people singing, and they were, even when they did concerts. I mean, how they did that? They actually did live concerts, and it was all to backing tracks, and they were just miming and lip syncing and dancing.
It was very weird.
Until it all fell apart when they did that at one show, wasn't it? Which was for the Grammys.
Yeah, when Milli Vanilli won a Grammy, which is obviously the most prestigious award that you can get in music, that's when things started crashing down because the few people that knew that they weren't actually singing, it all started.
Well, they
to
started
unravel.
Panning around. They panned around the audience. So obviously, in the audience were all top singers and bands, and they were panning around them, and you could just see their face thinking, they're not singing.
Yeah, they knew, didn't they?
Yeah, and the whole thing about the Grammys is that when you're invited to sing at the Grammys, it is live. You are singing. So this is the first time somebody tried to get away with not singing, but tried to pretend that they were, and they knew straight away.
Yeah. It was a really sad story, actually. We went from being quite kind of angry and thinking, well, what idiots, you know, and how horrible to kind of fraud people and the fans, to feeling really sorry for them.
Frank Farian was the one that frauded them, really, or defrauded, is that the word?
Yeah.
I think that's the word.
Yeah, they didn't really know what they were signing.
They were just led into it on a whim and it went too far.
They were too obsessed about being famous.
Way too obsessed about being famous, and that's what led them down a very dark path.
And we also saw Bob Marley, One Love, which was excellent. I'd seen mixed reviews, so I wasn't sure what to expect, loved it.
I can't see why people wouldn't like that. That was a really, really good film.
You have to like Bob Marley.
Oh, do
the music,
you? I mean, I suppose there's a lot of his music going all the way through it, but it was really interesting to see the political stage in Jamaica during that time as well. I had no idea that was going on.
No, so bad. All the violence and everything. Everyone was pitted against each other. Just looked horrendous in 1970.
And he pretty
Jamaica.
Much escaped, didn't he? He had to literally leave the country for his life. I mean, there was an attempt on his life, wasn't there?
Mm. He and his band went to London.
The Wailers.
The Wailers, exactly. And that's where they recorded Exodus. Didn't realise that.
No.
All in London.
And again, one of those films where you learn a lot about the person and a lot of stuff that you just simply didn't have any idea. I mean, obviously, if you're a Bob Marley fan and obsessive with it, you probably know all of this stuff. But we love Bob Marley, we love his music, but didn't know any of that.
No. You're right.
Sorry. Just having a choke.
Actually, our honeymoon song was Three Little Birds, wasn't it? When we went to the Caribbean for our honeymoon, the first island that we went to, our first destination, do you remember what it was?
It was the Bahamas, but I can't remember what the island was called, but it was in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it was Princess Cays.
Yes, because it was really weird. Like, we were on a princess cruise,
so, and it's like they leased out
this island. But
yeah, and that was the first time we went in the Caribbean Sea, and we were lying on the beach drinking cocktails, and it was all Bob Marley music, and it just really set the scene for our holiday, didn't it?
Yeah, and every time it plays now, it's just a nice reminder of our honeymoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talking of Bob Marley, we've got something in Marbella that's quite linked to him, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. One of his sons. But after the film finished, we did a little bit of research. Well, I'm sure other people do that when they're watching stuff. Either keep pausing it to Google, or what was he in? Or what?
It might just be us, you know.
No, I don't think so. I reckon everyone does this. So after the film, we were looking into him and all the children that he's had through a few different women.
Yes, he's got quite a few children.
And they're all musical. Pretty much all of them have gone into the music industry.
Most are singers, aren't they? Or musicians.
Yeah, brilliant. And one of them is coming to Marbella.
Julian Marley.
Yep, coming to Starlight this summer. So that should be good.
Yeah, and I wonder if he's going to do any Bob Marley stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking that. I think he probably doesn't want to, but people will probably expect him to. So I reckon he might.
It's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because obviously he's got the Marley name, so everyone probably assumes that, reggae, he's got to do all of his dad's stuff. Mm. But he probably doesn't want to. He's probably trying to have his own identity.
Absolutely.
So he really doesn't want to almost be associated with Bob Marley. But I mean, at the end of the day, he is probably where he is because of his father. Obviously having a very famous singer.
Having a famous dad helps. I've done a couple of interviews this week that have been fascinating. People from television.
Okay.
You looked at me wondering what happened to my voice.
I thought you'd had a speech impediment.
Delassi was on a show called Bring the Drama, which was hosted by Bill Bailey. And we loved that show, didn't we? It only finished a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, it resonates with us quite well because we're involved in an amateur theatre group here. And these are people that think they may have missed the opportunity to become actors. And it sort of followed their journey. It was like a reality type TV show where they had to do a sort of episode from a famous TV show each week.
Yeah, so they were sent to the set of EastEnders and Casualty and things like that.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Fight scene in that, which Delassi actually was very, very good in, I must say.
Yeah, so they had expert advice and people helping them. They had a casting director who gave them some amazing tips. We really, really enjoyed the show. And Delassi went on quite a journey.
He did. He was one of those at the beginning you thought, he's not going to really make it, is he? He's not as confident as some of the others. And he just didn't seem to gel as much. Mm. And then all of a sudden...
But he grew.
He grew and he became, very good.
Yeah, one of our favourites, definitely. So it was lovely chatting to him and he was really humble.
Spoiler alert, he's going to be in EastEnders.
Yes, so excited. It's already filmed, isn't it?
Yes.
And he reckons it's going to air around end of April.
End of April is what he said, yep.
So yeah, look forward to that. And I spoke to Tasha Gurry. So this was a pre-recorded interview. The interview with Delassi was live, but Tasha was an interview for the book show, which will be going out in June. And she was the first deaf contestant to appear on Love Island. And she's had an amazing career since, you know, being brand ambassador for Ann Summers and lots of other big brands. And she's a major influencer and she does a lot to campaign for deaf people and normalise having a deaf voice. This is all to do with the cochlear implant she has. If you don't put the implant in, then you sound like you're deaf.
Yeah, you played me a video of it. And I've got to say... Yes, okay, you can tell that she...
You can notice.
There's something with her voice. Mm. More like just a speech impediment as opposed to anything else because she maintained the same volume and the same level. It was just some of the words that were not forming as well as they might have. But I said people with speech impediments can have that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought she was very good without it as well. Yeah, she's obviously got used to how to use her voice.
Yeah. really inspirational, and she's been contacted by so many other young people who are deaf, who are saying, you know, thank you for everything you've done for the deaf community, and she's doing some great work. So it was lovely to chat to her.
We had an audition this week.
Yes, it was nice. I love an audition.
I think we did okay.
We did. We got parts.
We did. And it was a comedy sketch audition, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this apparently we're funny.
Sometimes. So this is for Lark in the Park. So you can explain what Lark in the Park is,
yes,
if you would.
Yes, so it's done by ITS, the International Theatre Studio, and it's in the park in Benahavis, which is... Benahavis? That's how you say it, isn't it?
It's how it's spelled.
Yeah. Which is basically inland, up high from
San
Pedro.
It's only about 15 minutes from the coast, though. It's not that far.
Amazing views from up there. And they've got a park with an amphitheatre in. So each year, on the first Sunday in June, we put together a kind of picnic and
it's an evening of entertainment, isn't it? Which includes, you know, people taking a picnic and they get there. I mean, I think the park opens at about 3 o'clock. So, you know, some people make a complete day of it. We have two acts usually. We have either a play or this year we're doing some comedy sketches.
Yeah, TV comedy sketches. And at our audition, we had to prepare a piece.
Oh, yes.
And I did. So I read out Pam Eyre's poem, "Oh, I wish I looked after me teeth," with that
accent.
Which
you did extremely well, and you're very good at accents.
Yeah, I never thought I was. I wasn't. I never used to be. I couldn't do a northern accent until I did Calendar Girls.
No, and you couldn't do a Welsh accent until you did Polish.
Oh, no. Yes. We went to a murder mystery night, and my character was Polish. So I spent ages practicing the accent and was really struggling, and then started to sound Welsh. And as soon as I started to sound, I couldn't come away from Welsh. So no. I decided that my character was from Poland, but spent a lot of time in Wales.
Yes, very good.
Got away with it.
So for my audition piece, I did Toby the Devil.
Yeah, this was one of Rowan Atkinson's pieces that he did. It was so good. It's so funny.
Yeah, he's got a couple of pieces like that, hasn't he?
Yeah, love it. So we're really looking forward to Lark in the Park. So that will be good in the summer. We're going to share a story from The Sir in English. We said we'd do this each week, and it took us quite a while to find a story because there's a lot of depressing things happening at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of a strange week here on the Costa del Sol.
Yeah. The weather's been nicer, though, I have to say.
Yeah, someone's flicked the summer switch.
Yeah, very nice.
I've done a lot of gardening this weekend.
Haven't you just? The place looks amazing.
I'm not a gardener. I don't really enjoy it.
Do you not?
No, can't stand it. If I could get a gardener in, I would. But we've got some palm trees in the garden.
That sounds very extravagant, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's some, but there are.
Yeah, I know. But, palm trees and banana trees.
And they get these birds of paradise, which look amazing colours, and they look like a beak.
They look like birds.
Yeah, so, but when they die, they look horrendous.
Yeah, and they seem to die quite quickly. Yes. They don't look pretty for very long.
No. So we had a lot of these on the tree and lots of dead palm leaves.
Yeah, so we got rid of a lot of stuff, but it looks amazing now. And you're covered in scratches.
Yeah.
You look like you've been...
Which is why, look at that.
It's terrible.
You can't see this on the pod, but Hannah is looking
at
my arms.
He's scratched, he's covered in red scratches.
It looks like I've had sort of 10 rounds with the cat that's adopted us outside.
So, bless her.
The garden's all ready for summer now.
Yes. Very pleased. Well done. Good job.
Back to the story in The Sir in English.
Back to the story in The Sir in English. So, we were looking, trying to find something, and then saw a piece about Rhonda that has officially opened the first phase of their new gorge walk. So, Rhonda is in Andalusia. It's about, how far is it from here? About an hour?
What, the one in Wales or the one here?
No, the one here in Andalusia.
It's an hour to get there on the road, but it's actually not that far. It's only about 25 kilometres, but you just literally go round and round and round and round
windy road.
It goes up very high, so in the winter, it's often snowy up there.
Yeah.
You actually start seeing the signs for snow.
We went there once on the bus because we thought it would be nice not to drive and go up and have a bit of a boozy lunch. I was nearly sick. On the way there, not because of alcohol.
It was because of alcohol. You'd had a heavy night the night before.
Oh, don't.
Well, you had. You can't blame it on the bus when you'd had it.
I've forgotten that part of it. But it was so windy. It was horrible. I thought I was going to be sick.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun journey for me.
It wasn't for me either.
Oh, that's horrible. Why it wasn't for me.
Okay. So yes, drive to Rhondda. That's my advice. And it's like, because I do get car sick. This gorge walk, there's a new 250-meter pathway which opened on Saturday, which allows visitors to walk along the side of the famous gorge to the foot of the new bridge. And it looks stunning. It's so beautiful up there.
Well, it's an amazing place because this is steeped in history, Rhondda. I mean, back to the Roman times, because they've got the Roman baths up there and everything.
Yeah.
And this bridge has quite a colourful history. There is a long, long, long drop from this bridge. And in Franco's time, this is where he also dropped a few prisoners.
God, yeah.
So it's got a dark history as well, because below it, it used to be a prison as well. But yeah,
fascinating.
Outside of that, it's still a spectacular place. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to checking that out, although I don't like walking.
Well, you need to. It's €5 to do this. And I read that only after the website going live for 24 hours, they sold over 600 tickets, which is amazing.
Ooh, that's quite a few.
Yeah. So we're going to do that because walking, we need to do more walking.
Yes, I want to lose some weight and get fitter.
You've said it now on the podcast, so people have heard it, so you can't kind of go back on it.
But I'm finding it really difficult to lose some weight. So I think I put on a few pounds. I hurt my back at the beginning of the year. And because of that, I wasn't doing much exercise. Because before that, we were doing quite a lot of walking and stuff and quite a bit of exercise. So we were doing okay. But when I hurt my back, that sort of stopped. You were dropping me off and collecting me from places because I literally couldn't walk. It gave me really bad sciatica. And it just meant that, yeah, I couldn't walk very far at all without having to sit down and rest and get up and try and start again. And during that time, on went the pounds.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Do you think it's an age thing?
Definitely.
But I keep weighing myself. And it's really odd because, so I weigh myself in the morning and I'll be a certain weight. And then I think, oh, done a bit of walking, done this and that. Haven't eaten anything, had a glass of water maybe, if I'm lucky. And then I weigh myself again and I've put on a pound.
Oh, but you can't be that obsessive about weighing yourself. Scott, that used to come on my show, nutritionist and personal trainer, always said that weighing yourself can sometimes be a waste of time. And it ends up depressing you and demotivating you instead of the other way around. You do weigh different things throughout the day, depending on what, eating, exercise, going to the toilet, all these kind of things. Your weight can fluctuate
massively.
Maybe
I took in too much air.
Maybe. I still keep doing that, otherwise you'll die. So yes, more exercise. Our diet, we're doing all right though. We're not eating sweet things at night. We got into a habit of having a cup of coffee in bed, which we can still do. We're still able to sleep, aren't we? Some people can't have coffee after like 5 o'clock.
I like a cup of coffee before bed.
Yeah, definitely. And we were always eating something sweet, whether it was a biscuit or two or some chocolate. We've stopped that.
And we were doing it every night. And when you're talking about all of this, you sort of start to see quite easily why the weight was going on now.
Yes, exactly. So stopping that and exercising will be good.
And dancing is a good way to lose it, but it has its pitfalls, doesn't it? If you're a little bit older than you were when you first started going clubbing.
Don't. We went to a nightclub last night.
An actual real nightclub with real music and real people.
We weren't sure. We were trying to work out if we've ever been to a nightclub together. And we think we have a few times when we first started
dating.
Yeah,
we have been. But we're not... Oh, excuse me. I'm choking now.
Oh, no, don't do that.
We're not nightclub people, really. Are we anymore? I think, again, that's an age thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I loved it when I was younger. Couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, same. I mean, we both love to dance, but I'm just happy you're in a kind of
More in the sort of disco bar. Disco bar sounds like a bit 1970s, doesn't it? But a lively bar.
Yeah, just a bar that has live music or whatever was fine for us.
Yeah, we're easily pleased.
Yeah. Anyway, we went to a 90s party last night.
Great music.
In Volare. Is it Volare or Volare? Everyone was saying Volare. I just assumed it was Volare. But
I think
it's
that's
Volare.
Italian Volare, so yeah. I think Volare.
Okay. Volare in Marbella. And it was fab. It was all 90s dance music, all the hits, all the classics. Brilliant.
And you got up on a podium and had a bit of a dance, didn't you? And then what happened, Hannah?
Then the security guard asked me to get down.
Yes, that was a tad embarrassing, wasn't it?
Oh, don't. It was fun, though. I loved it. You can't put a podium there and expect people not to get on it. I wasn't the first one to get on it. There was quite a few ladies that tried before me.
And they were also pulled off by the security guards.
I know.
It's actually reserved for the ladies that had very little clothing on that they employed by the
establishment.
Yes,
they weren't wearing much at all, were they? You could see what they had for breakfast.
Exactly, yes.
But I was amazed that you said that you didn't find it particularly attractive.
No, well, I tried to explain this, because I'm going to sound like a real weirdo now if you don't find like a half-dressed woman not attractive. But I like a little bit of...
Mystery,
yes. And there wasn't much mystery about those two.
No, she had nice bottom.
But they were attractive.
Yes, they were.
So that's what I was trying to explain. Yes, I wouldn't kick them out of bed.
For eating crisps.
I believe we're discussing this on the podcast. But the big reveal needs to be done a little bit more subtly.
Okay, fair enough. I'm with you, Batman. So yes, the clubbing. So we've done it, tick. Happy. My knees hurt.
Well, that's age.
This is the problem.
No, that's age.
Yeah, thank you. Literally, I'm going up and down the stairs today. I have to do one step at a time because my knee really hurts.
That's age.
It's really embarrassing. Well, the other thing, when we got to the club, as soon as we walked in the front door, we both looked at each other and said, just need a wee. And we both went straight to the toilet.
Again, in the past, our first thing to have got in there would have been, who's going to go to the bar? Should we go to the bar?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, should we go for a wee? Just in case.
Oh, God, that's embarrassing.
And once those floodgates were opened, it was regular trips to the bathroom after that.
It was. But what a great night. Loved it.
Oh, awesome. And I've got to say, it was all people of our age there as well, mostly.
Yeah. All the youngsters I noticed, someone else noticed it as well, because there were some young ones there.
What do you consider youngsters?
In their 20s.
Wow, I feel really old now.
So all the youngsters that were there in their 20s, not only were they not dancing, they were all on their phones. Did you notice?
No.
Oh, well, I did. Quite a few other people did.
I was distracted by two ladies on podiums hardly any clothes.
You were looking more than I knew you were. You're so full of crap. Right, we'll leave it there, I think, before we have an argument.
Yes, we're fine. While we're on a theme of the 90s,
let's
talk about this amazing festival that comes to San Pedro that we did last year.
Okay, yes, there was a 90s festival.
It was all the music that we heard at that nightclub.
Yeah, it was. All that
Like Two Unlimited, they were there live. Technotronic were there live.
Yeah, it was really good. I loved all the graphics. They had two DJs that were in a, what was it called?
Booth.
No, but it was in the Game Boy, Nintendo Game Boy.
Oh, yes.
They had like a massive Game Boy on the stage, and where the screen of the Game Boy was where the DJ set was. It was really cleverly done. It was really cool.
And it was packed.
Yeah, we loved it. We went VIP last year.
Not because we're posh or got lots of money, but...
No.
I don't know why we went VIP. I know why we went VIP. We wanted to be close to a toilet. And the bar. Which so turned out actually last year that it took longer at that bar than it did to walk down the stairs and go to the normal bar.
Yeah, so we're going normal this year.
Yeah, with everybody else, and we're all going to dance. I don't know what you're going to do. You have to be careful with your knees.
Oh, I hope I haven't really damaged it.
No, you'll be all right. Just put some of that what's that stuff that you can get?
Deep heat?
Yeah, it's what the old people get.
Oh, don't! What the old people get. Right, I'm saying goodbye now. Thank you for listening.
Yes, and it's been a fantastic week.
It has. It's goodbye from him.
And it's good night from her.
Good night.